Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey there. Your Ben Jarofsky Show for this Wednesday, March 27th, starts now. On today's show, the king of Chicago journalism returns. That's right, Monroe Anderson's back for Monroe Wednesdays. The Ben Jarofsky Show, a presentation of the Chicago Reader. ChicagoReader.com for everything there is to know in the city of Chicago. If you want to know what to do, you want to know where to go, what to eat, what to drink, you want to know politics, art, music in the city of Chicago, head to ChicagoReader.com because it is a one-stop shop for all that and more. And if you want more Ben Jarofsky, head to ChicagoReader.com /Jarofsky. That's J-O-R-A-V as in victory, S-K-Y.
Hello again, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Love You, Pat Quinn Wednesday, and here's why. Former Governor Pat Quinn. I love you, Pat Quinn. Monroe Anderson sitting by. He loves Pat Quinn, too. Here's the thing I love about Pat Quinn. He's a classic maverick. Pat and I, we go way back, way, way, way back to the early 80s when I first started covering his press conferences. He was always, like, looking for an issue, a fundamental progressive issue, basically, a populist issue that would fire up everybody, reaching across all, like, racial lines, ethnic lines, you know, and so usually dealing with property tax fairness, that kind of thing. The powers that be just hated him. Hated him. Like, oh, he's just a publicist, Ben. He's just using you, Ben. You know, he's just trying to get publicity. Oh, yeah? Okay, what are you trying to do? Why is it bad when he does it and okay when you do it? Anyway, this burst of enthusiasm for former Governor Pat Quinn has to do with the fact that I think it was yesterday, he announced that he's calling for a non-binding referendum in the city of Chicago, November's election, as to whether the public... I'm laughing because this is like so classic Pat Quinn. Whether the public should support a handout to the Bears and the White Sox for their stadiums. Now, just for the record, everybody knows I'm against them vehemently, even though I'm a charter member of the White Sox fan club from high school. Yeah, I was the biggest nerd in the world in high school. And even though I'm a diehard Bear fan, I could not possibly imagine myself rooting for any other team. Even though I'm right now mad at them for how they've treated Justin Fields. Absolutely, I do not want one nickel going to either establishment. They've already gotten too much money as it is, and they've squandered it. The whole point of running a team for the civic community that surrounds a team and supports the team is to have a winning team. And the White Sox and the Bears have been atrocious on this front. So... if anybody who believes in the concept of meritocracy should be vehemently opposed to handing out money to subsidize terrible teams. And I suppose, don't we all believe in meritocracy? Isn't that something that everybody believes in? Huh? Yeah, right. Anyway, so Pat Quinn is part of his effort, did a poll that showed, big surprise here, nearly 66% of those surveyed oppose taxpayer subsidies. I'm wondering about the other 34%. Who are those dummies? You got some of the dumbest people in the city of Chicago. Oh, I support it. Oh, I'm a Chicagoan. I voted for Rahm Emanuel. I know. I'm not small. Oh, God. My dear friend Matt Ginsburg is going to get so mad at me making fun of Chicago voters. But 34% want to give their money. You guys just got finished voting down. This is how clueless Chicagoans are. You just got finished voting down a one-time tax on the sale of most expensive property in the city of Chicago. And by the way, Monroe Anderson thanks you for that. If he ever gets around to selling his Lincoln Park establishment, you saved him a few bucks. So you just go, oh, we're taking a stand. We're Chicagoans. We really are taking a stand. You just got finished voting that down. Now you're going to, oh, yeah, let's give the Bears money, even though they're terrible. I got to tell you, Matt, I know you defend Chicagoans, but they are so clueless. Anyway, I support Pat Quinn 100% on his initiative to have this put before the voters. God, I would love to see a really powerful. Where would the business community go? Just imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if they got this on the ballot, and they probably won't. Mayor Brandon Johnson and the city council, they'll do everything they can to keep it off the ballot. Because, you know, they don't want any pressure from the public on this. But just imagine if they could get in the ballot. So the forces, which are basically the Chamber of Commerce and the downtown business community that were just so outrageous and self-righteous about the tax, the Bring Chicago Home, one-time tax on the sale of expensive property. You know, there's no transparency. We don't know how they're going to spend the money. Harumph! You watch. They all flip-flop. Ding, that's them flip. Oh, yeah, this is a good idea. It's called economic development. It's an investment. No, there will be no specificity about how the money will be spent, ladies and gentlemen. There will be no guarantees that there won't be their cost overruns. Absolutely none. You know that. There will be nothing resembling transparency on a Bear or White Sox deal. They will rip it up as they go along. The amount they say it'll cost will double before it's said and done. So the notion of transparency will be out the window. And yet all these transparency freaks, I have that in quote, who are so against Bring Chicago Home because it might help a poor person, will be like, come on. There's always cost overrun. They'll be like Trump supporters who say it's absolutely permissible to have fraud in the business world. And how unfair it is. That's how they do it. When it comes to them, give us more money. Doesn't matter about transparency. Gotta help a poor person. Oh, my God. It's outrageous. Suddenly, they're all CPAs and counting every little bean. Anyway, Pat Quinn, I'm going to reach out to you, bring you on the show, talk about this. Anything you do that puts a spotlight on the hypocrisy of this city and just like the... It's just like the double standards of this city. I welcome Pat Quinn. Still got game. All right. Somebody else who still got game is Monroe Anderson, sitting by, still celebrating in the aftermath of Bring Chicago Home's loss. As I said, that may save him a nickel or two in property taxes if he ever gets around to selling. Me too, Monroe. Although my little home will never fetch what yours will get. So in the midst of celebrating, Bring Chicago Home going down, I'm joking. He actually voted for it. Monroe, how would you vote if Pat Quinn had his way and got this referendum about Bears and White Sox fund, expenditures on the ballot?
I've only been a Pat Quinn supporter minorly. I never was impressed with him. I mean, I like some of his positions, but I went to a party at Chaz Ebers' house. That was a fundraiser for him. Uh-huh. And it was boring. His State of the Union speech put me to sleep.
State of the state.
Put me to sleep. It was the most boring speech I have ever, ever heard. And I've heard a lot of state of the something or another speech.
All right. So let me ask you this, as long as you say this. In 2014, Pat Quinn ran for governor against Bruce Rauner. Who did you vote for?
Oh, I voted for him.
No further questions, Your Honor. This witness may step down.
I voted for him, but that was because I knew Rauner was worse.
Okay. 2010, Pat Quinn running for governor for the first time. I think it was Brady. God, I'm doing this off the top of my head. A Republican. Who did you vote for, Quinn or the Republican?
I voted for Quinn, but he was not my choice. It was, I was doing my, well, I'm a Democrat. And, you know, and you can't trust Republicans to do the right thing on anything.
I'm with you 100% on that.
Okay, now let's go to the stadium at his proposal.
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
I have a better proposal.
Oh, okay.
I think that we should make Green Bay our role model and let the citizens have ownership of both teams where you get to buy your share. And so if they profit, you profit. If they fail, there's you at least are paying tax money and whatever it costs you for their failure. So you have a chance of, and we could vote on what the Bears should be doing. For example, we could have voted whether they should have kept Fields or let him go if we owned it.
Okay. So I agree with you. I would love to for the Bears to replicate that, the Green Bay model in terms of ownership. So before we get to the Justin Fields issue that you raised, which since you raised it now, we're going to get to it. You've ducked and dodged the question I asked. So one more time, let's say Pat Quinn prevails, even though I don't believe,
he's not going to prevail.
Yeah. They're going to keep
this. And this is my Pat Quinn problem is that the stuff he comes up with is never going to go anywhere.
No, that's not fair to Pat Quinn. The reality is that nobody wants the public weighing in on this deal because they want to create the notion that the people of Chicago support a handout to the Bears. And if you had a public referendum, which the people of Chicago rejected a handout to the Bears or a handout to the White Sox, then they would be coming face to face with the reality that they're shoving something down the throats of the people of the city of Chicago that they don't want.
Right.
As long as you have the pretense that the public wants it, as long as you have cheerleaders like the Chicago Tribune's editorial board and Crane's editorial board, sometimes seems to be smarter, so I'll leave them out, waving the flag, then you could pretend as though the public's with it. But if you have a referendum on it, Monroe, and 60% of the people say no, then out the window. So that's why they're not going to let Pat Quinn's matter come before the public, you know, as well as I do. They want to pretend as though the public supports something that everybody knows the public doesn't support. Now, having said all that, if it gets to the ballot, Monroe Anderson, do you vote yes or do you vote no?
It depends on where they put it. They claim they want to put it. If they want to put it on the old U.S. Steel site on the south side, yes, 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 because that would help that part of town of the city develop. And it's a great site. I've been out there. I was out there 25 years ago when Jesse Jr. was pushing the concept, and he took me on a tour at that time.
I must concede, ladies and gentlemen, Monroe Anderson trumped my ace. You're absolutely correct. That was a very good point. That's the core. Of course, we know that as the Del Marie Cobb site. And if they do go there, they should name the stadium for Del Marie Cobb because she's the one who's been pushing for it. But yes, I would agree because the money would be spent cleaning up like land that's just poisoned by various chemicals and toxins, et cetera, and so forth. And
well, they've done some cleaning up, and it's still so. I mean, do you leave it dead and useless from one generation to the next, or do you clean it up?
Clean it up
and make it something because the Bears could have their Disneyland, football Disneyland out there. There's enough space, so they could do it. There's I think the Red Line now runs out there. Or if it's not, it soon will be.
Yes.
So it would be the ideal. And it has a great view of the skyline.
Absolutely.
The skyline's in the distance, sort of. But the TV cameras could actually shoot the city in the background in the sports stadium and zoom back downtown without passing a bunch of cornfields.
Absolutely. And by the way, There's always the propaganda put out by the Sun-Times, so I don't believe this. It's that, oh, the highway isn't near there. No, the highway is right near there. I called, as soon as I read that propaganda in the Sun-Times, I called former Alderwoman Sue Garza. I go, Sue, what's the deal? She goes, oh, no, are you kidding me? There's an entrance right near there.
Right.
And
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Workers had to get to U.S. Steel.
Yes.
You think they put a steel, well, they built Daddy Daly built an expressway and said, well, we're going to make sure those workers can get there. They would have to do this and do that to get to their job.
Oh, Lord, it's true. And then Sue pointed out there was a rock concert. Dave Matthews tens of thousands of people came out to see Dave Matthews. She said, I remember the people just walking down the street. It was like there was no problem getting people there. So, yeah, that's propaganda put out by the downtown business community because they want it downtown. They don't care. They do not care about the south side of Chicago in any way. Well, anyway, we'll see. So I get your point. I still.
I'm not quite finished.
Go.
If it's going to be on the museum campus.
Yes, go ahead.
Then I would vote no.
There you go.
Because that would only, I mean, you could rationalize putting it there because the Bears have all sorts of lost trophies. They could do it. And then there was this year Bears that lost our last year's Bears are there was this horrible quarterback or that horrible. I mean, they could have a history of sorts, just reminded us of all the failures they've done over the years.
Yeah,
but I don't. Well, we could have that museum and not have the stadium there.
Yeah,
it's the same. We could just have Bears failures over here.
And it's such a joke too. Del Marie was talking about this yesterday on the show. And Tom Scherer was talking about it last week. It's such a joke. The notion that the Bears could build what they want on the lakefront, which is a hotel, a museum, a dome stadium, and still keep
the lakefront. Shops.
We have parking. Chris pointed out how important parking is.
Yeah.
And they could do all that and still keep the lakefront open and free. It's such only a Chicagoan would believe that. Only they right now they put that out in the papers of their accounts. Do you know how like the national reporters when they come to endorsing Trump or to writing about Trump, they bend over backwards to point out Trump says something outrageous and they'll point out, of course, that's not true. Nobody has ever validated. But in Chicago, when the Bears sell you something outrageous, like we could build whatever we want on the lakefront, there's no reporter saying, oh, that's absolutely not true. There's not enough room there. That completely contradicts something. You know, the whole purpose.
See, except you're too small-minded. Look, remember, make no small plans.
Yeah, Daniel Burnham, go ahead.
Right. Remember, Richard J. Daley was going to put an airport out in the middle of Lake Michigan.
Yes, Daddy Daley.
We can put the Bears out in the middle of Lake Michigan.
Why did I think of that? You're right. I have no vision. Right. Put the Bears in the middle of Lake Michigan. You could fly people in and parachute the fans into the stadium. You know? Oh, my God. And the funniest thing is like, so people come on the show and they're speaking honestly as opposed to what you read in the mainstream papers. No one believes anything the Bears say. You know, like they did sometimes at the big interview with Kevin Warren, the head of the Bears. Oh, I love Chicago. I'm counting the number of cranes in Chicago. I'm a Chicago guy. This and that and the other thing. And absolutely, they take it at face value, you know. But whereas ordinary people who like don't have to deal with the Bears on a regular basis go, of course I don't believe a word he's saying. It's a ploy. It's either a ploy. Chris and I were talking about this before the show, Monroe. It's either a ploy to get Arlington Heights to kick in more money or it's a ploy to get the dummies in Chicago to kick in more money. Either way, it's a ploy. You follow what I'm saying? They don't love Arlington Heights. They don't love Chicago. They don't like you, Chicago. Stop thinking they like you. You know what I'm saying? They don't like you. They just want to take your
money. You know, when I was press secretary, I sat in on a meeting with the Bears when they were trying to get the new stadium on the lakefront.
Oh yeah. Oh God.
And it was not McCaskey, but the son-in-law. I forget his name.
No, it was McCaskey back in the day.
McCaskey.
Yeah, well, he passed. Michael McCaskey.
Michael, yeah. He was doing the talking back then, and doing the pitch.
Yeah, Michael McCaskey.
And, yeah,
I remember there was talk of a West Side Stadium for a while. I mean,
yeah, right.
The Bears have been talking about it. It's the Bears. The Bears
in
their stadium.
The U.S. to clean up the site. Put it on the U.S. steel site or forget about it.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. You know what? We may have to call Del Marie. We may have to call it the Del Marie Cobb and Monroe Anderson Stadium, okay? Before all is said and done. That makes the most sense. All right, before we leave the Bears completely, Evan Moore wrote a fascinating column for the Chicago Defender where he pointed something out that I think Monroe that had been under the surface but not explicitly said, that the way the Bears handled Justin Fields, a quarterback, just shows there's like a racial divide on this subject, or particularly a black point of view on this subject. And it's this, that Justin Fields, who is a black man, was given drafted by the Bears and given the job as quarterback, even though the Bears had no preparation whatsoever for him. Terrible offensive line, utter confusion and chaos with their coaches, no great receivers. Finally, they're fortifying the offensive line, getting some quality receivers, and they get rid of him. So he gets blamed for things that he has nothing to do with. The standard is so unacceptably high and unfair, and then he is just kicked out of town. And Evan Moore said that's black people in Chicago can really identify with that. Your thoughts?
I agree. God, I missed the popularity today. I agree that they didn't do anything to help him. Lousy line. They fired the wrong person. They should have gotten rid of the coach.
Yeah, and instead they got rid of Justin Fields.
Right, exactly. You know, and hopefully this new guy is going to be all they want him to be. At least they're trying to give him a line.
Yeah.
But, what's wrong with that, as far as I'm concerned, is you've got to repeat the breaking in a new guy, new quarterback, giving him a chance to learn how to be a pro.
Yeah.
Which is just Justin went through, and now he's going to have to go through it. So they more than likely we got at least a couple of losing years.
Four years. Yeah. Caleb Williams is the probably the quarterback that the Bears are going to get that Monroe's alluding to. All right,
they're going to get him.
Let's move from sports, Bears, and Chicago, and go to national politics, Monroe's wheelhouse. And so Monroe, I could easily call this Monroe's Right Wednesday, and I'll explain why. There was a special election in the state of Alabama earlier this week to fill a vacancy, and it was what they call a classic purple district. It had gone for Trump in 2020, but it was very close, and the incumbent was a Republican. The incumbent, I think, got some kind of scandal and had to step down, so there was a vacancy. So in the special election running to fill the vacancy, The Democratic candidate, a woman named Marilyn Lands, ran as a passionate supporter of abortion rights. Okay, big time supporter of abortion rights, and wound up mopping the floor with the Republican. This is a swing district, my friends. Marilyn Lands beat a guy named Teddy Powell. She got about 65% of the vote in a district that Donnie Trump won last time.
Yeah, and in the Bible Belt.
In Alabama, exactly. Yeah,
the Bible Belt.
Yeah, and so, Monroe, you've been predicting that Trump would lose, and you've been doing this in the face of vehement opposition from the mainstream media, who just dedicated to the notion that Trump will win for whatever perverse reasons they have. New York Times, I think that's their business model, to scare liberals. But you're like, no, this is just, I'm reading the tea leaves. This is where we're going as a country right now.
Remember I had my green, my green crystal ball?
Yes. Right. So, does this fit your theory? What went down in Alabama? Does this fit your theory, Monroe?
Yes, and you will see it again and again, and you will see it big time in November, because the Republicans have gone buck wild crazy, and Trump is crazier than the Republicans are. And he's taken over the party. It's his party now. And I mean, he's doing, I mean, this is like the producers, you know, the play in the movie.
Yeah.
Where they wanted a losing production.
Yes. One of the greatest scenarios. Yes. Right,
exactly. This is, I think Trump thinks he's doing the producers' political style, and the Republicans, and thinking, okay, well, if we do this, then it's going to come out. You know, it's like that. There's this movie out now, American Fiction.
Yes.
Where this guy intentionally writes a novel with all the stereotypes and everything, trying to make a point.
Yes.
And they love it. This is what Trump and the MAGA crowd is hoping. That the worse we act, the dumber we get, then the more chance we're going to have of winning. It's not going to happen.
Well, to your point, there's another parallel with the producers. One of my favorite movies of all time. Like the original producer, Zero Mostel, and Gene Wilder, directed and written by Mel Brooks. I love that movie immensely, Monroe. And But there's another parallel to it. And when you said it, it just immediately connected. So the premise behind the producers, ladies and gentlemen, is, as Monroe says, to produce a movie that's guaranteed to fail. And what they do is...
It's a play.
My bad. A play that's guaranteed to fail. And what they do is they sucker people into investing in the play. So the play costs like $100 produce. They sell so many shares of investors in the play, they get $1,000. It utterly fails and falls, and they get to keep the there's no profits to share. Oh well, we lost. They get to keep the money. Trump's doing that with his initial public offering of DJT stock in his dumb social media. Monroe, in the producers, the movie, Zero Mostel courts all these old ladies and plays sex games with them and gets them to invest. Yeah, Trump doing that with MAGA. He's got these dummies throwing money at, well, we support Donald. We don't care if we make any money. We love him so much. It's about free speech. I'm like, Donald Trump, you have figured it out. I got to give you credit. You have just found the biggest
dummy. You know, the thing is, yeah, I know. What's really interesting to me is you would think that because Donald is the great Christian that he says he is, and because he's the big time billionaire that he says he is, that he would be giving Bibles to his people, his fans. He wouldn't be selling them. That's sacrilegious, basically. But whereas if he just said, you get a Bible, you get a Bible, then it'd be okay.
Dude, you can't make it up. He's selling Bibles. He sold steaks. He sold everything that's not tied down.
$60, $60, or $59.95 or something. Plus, but you got to pay shipping and handling.
But beyond the Bibles, that IPO, that initial public offering, that's raised, like, took a company that's virtually worthless. It's the stock is selling like a 2000 percent higher than the value of the company. It's like an investment that's guaranteed to fail, and people are just throwing money. Oh, we love you. We just want to support you. Monroe,
it's like GameStop. Yeah. Stop. Remember?
Yeah, I remember that. Yes, I do remember that. Yes.
It wasn't making any money, and people were investing in it because I don't know why. I haven't figured out why they.
Listen,
I know they're investing in Trump's company. I know why they're invested in Trump's company.
Why? Why do you think they're investing in Trump's company?
So we can, so America will be great again. Wow. He's gonna make in Mexico this time. Mexico will pay for the wall. I guarantee you.
Yeah, this time. Who's dumber? The people who invest in Trump's company or the 34% Pat Quinn's polls? Say, oh yeah, give the Bears and the White Sox money. Oh, go ahead, knock yourself out. God.
Now, and the thing. Okay, seriously, with this company that Trump owns, go ahead. It's useful if you want Trump to be president again and give you your billionaire.
Yeah.
And if he becomes president, he will give you yet more tax cuts. And so the money that you invest in his company, you'll get it back many times over in the money that you will save in taxes. When he reduces the taxes again.
Wow. That's one way of looking at it. I guess so.
Yeah. But and he can take his cut.
Yeah. Well, that's the big time investors.
Yeah.
That's not the case for the smaller investor who's kicking in, I don't know, buying 10 shares here and 10 shares there just because they support Donald Trump and have said, we don't care if we make or lose money. We just want money to go to Donald Trump.
Well, you know, Bailey's is doing okay, right?
What's that?
Bailey's is doing okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people, if that's a passion of yours, if you like gambling, and you know the house always wins, but you still go to the house.
That is so true. You're right.
Then you're paying for the experience.
You're right. So you're paying for the experience of Donald Trump saying stupid things, and you love it. Right. Now, the serious money is the one that'll get revealed in May. Follow me on this, ladies and gentlemen. And these are the initial investors who made this deal possible. And right now they're shielded, but I believe in May, sometime in May, Donald Trump's company will have to reveal who those initial investors are. Do you have any thoughts what those revelations will show? Like who the big time investors are?
I think the investors are going to be the Arabs and Putin.
Right. So you say Russia and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. And China. It's all the people who want us to remain screwed up. It's in their interest for Trump to be, because the first thing he's going to do is pull us out of NATO. Well, first he's going to send some weapons to Russia. Because they too are running low, so he can send them some weapons there to help them beat the Ukraine. Then he's going to pull out of NATO. Then he's going to send his daughter back to China to get some more copyrights, so she can make more money. He's going to tell Jared. Okay, go back there and see if you can get them to give you a couple of billion more. They'll be happy.
I mean, it's not that fantastical what Monroe was saying. Jared Kushner right now is like a one-man emissary to Netanyahu, essentially telling the Israeli government, Netanyahu, don't worry. Whatever you want to do, we'll let you get away with it once we're successfully reelected. That's what's happening right now, right now, as we sit here.
Exactly.
And just move Palestinians to Egypt. That's their plan. What's going on in Russia, Monroe? Dude, we didn't talk about this before the show, but it's utter madness. Yes. Where there was an attack at a theater outside of Moscow, over 100 people slaughtered. It is clearly the work, or pretty much everyone says it's the work of ISIS. ISIS says it was their work.
Right, exactly. They got pictures.
They're like, we did it. They want the credit. It's madness. It's utter madness. And Putin's like, it's Ukraine.
Right. He wants the permission slip to kill some more women and children in Ukraine.
It's like a novel. If Joseph Heller couldn't make this up for a novel, let's say after 9/11, George Bush said, well, we don't want to blame Saudi Arabia and terrorists.
We didn't blame Saudi Arabia.
Oh, true. Oh my God, we're no better than Putin.
Right, exactly. Oh, that's how the game is played.
Oh God, help us all. You're right. I sit corrected. Utter insanity. We launched a war against Iraq. You're right. You're right, Monroe. But Putin is now blaming Ukraine to justify the war in much the same way George Bush. You're right. You're right. You know what? That novel has already been written in this country. You're absolutely correct. Wow. Damn, I hadn't thought of that. He's a wise man, that Monroe Anderson. All right. Donald Trump, you're sticking with your prediction that Donald Trump will be defeated in November, and you think Alabama establishes that, correct?
Yes. And Kansas. I mean, this is the thing. Trump has only won 2016.
Yeah.
Everything else has been a loss for him.
Man, you are really popular. Oh my goodness. Go ahead. Yeah.
I know. And you know what these calls are? People trying to sell me Medicare. I mean, I get these on both phones.
Wait, time out. Aren't you already on Medicare?
Yes. But they got some new program, I guess. Because I've taken it just hanging up on them. At one point, I would answer it, and they would start the pitch. And they always ask you, what are you doing? You know, how's your day going? And I was telling them, well, I'm watching this movie right now. Sorry to bother you. Have you seen it? It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of hang up.
You should get him going on John Wick movies. Monroe Anderson is entering the John Wick phase of his life. I'm going to watch some of those John Wick movies myself to see what you're talking about. Word of advice for me and Monroe to all you millennials and Zs out there, stay young.
Right.
Don't get old, all right? Just stay young. You don't have to deal with this stuff. So you're staying with your prediction.
See, when we were in college, the saying was, don't trust anybody over 30.
Yeah.
We were right.
Yeah, we were right. You were right. Yeah, we were right. All right, Monroe, there's another reason why I think Donald Trump, or I hope Donald Trump is unsuccessful in November. MAGA has unleashed forces of insanity that I don't know if I've ever seen. It is this bad. So we could talk about Mark Robinson, who's running for governor of North Carolina. But I'm going to focus on a woman that I had never heard of until The Guardian wrote a story about her earlier last week. Her name is Michelle Morrow. And she is running for what they call the superintendent of public instruction in North Carolina. That's the person who's charged of the public schools. And she's a far right candidate, total MAGA to the core. And in the past, about in 2020, she tweeted out that Barack Obama should be the subject of, quote, this is her words, Monroe, a pay-per-view of him in front of a firing squad. I do not want to waste another dime on supporting his life. We could make some money back from televising his death. Monroe, I just cannot believe, maybe I'm naive, I just cannot believe that there's a majority of voters in North Carolina, which voted for Obama, I want to say, in 2008, who will support this woman.
Well, the reason she's doing this is to raise money. She has adopted the Marjorie Taylor Greene approach to government, where you say and do ridiculous things, and the MAGA people send you money supporting you because you say and do ridiculous things. The stuff that they like and they think that's crazy, but it's where they are.
Wow, well, that's taking the model to extremes.
Right. You know, they're doing it. It's happening in other places in the country.
So what does MAGA have against Barack Obama?
He's black. I'm sorry. Well, he was born in Kenya. No, okay. I'm guessing at these things. That he gave millions of people health care that didn't have it before. So there's a lot of reasons why you could want Obama dead.
That's really wild, man. I just...
Back 100 years ago, they called it a lynching.
Yeah.
We're more civilized than that now.
She is the Republican candidate statewide, North Carolina. And Mark Robinson is just completely out of his mind. He's the gubernatorial candidate,
right? And he has an abundance of melatonin.
Yes, he does. He's as he, yeah.
But I won't call him black.
No, okay. I hear where you're going with that. Apparently, the Supreme Court agrees with you, Monroe. The Supreme Court agrees with you that it's a losing proposition for Republicans to move too far into MAGA world when it comes to abortion rights.
Right, at least for now.
At least for now.
They are from the heritage wing of the conservative movement. And so they've been schooled and trained and programmed and what have you. But and they more than likely are still going to cocktail parties and having discussions on how this should be done. And my guess is the heritage people tell them, whoa, okay, we're moving a little too fast here. Let's slow it down. we'll get this abortion done, but we need to do it in a smarter way than we're approaching it right now.
Absolutely. So yesterday there was a hearing before the Supreme Court on the issue of whether the morning after pill and an attempt to abolish it. They found some judge in Texas who cooked up some excuse to abolish. You can't send it through the mail. So it came before the Supremes. Yesterday's hearing made it clear that the justices were suspicious of it.
That was Holly's wife. That was
That's correct. Aaron Holly is
fast running.
Fist pumping Senator Holly from Missouri. You're right. Love January 6th.
Yeah.
He's got that in common with Clarence Thomas.
Right.
So you're right. Senator Holly's wife is one of the leading lawyers for the anti-abortion movement. And so she was making her argument, and the justices were they were suspicious on the issue of standing. So this is a classic case of them cooking up some cockamamie legal argument to avoid taking a stand on whether this is just government has gone too far step in and abolish, keep women from ordering this medication through the mail. I mean, that's the central issue, isn't it, Monroe, whether government has gone too far. And so to duck and dodge that, What they do is they come up with, well, you don't have standing. Yeah, no, well, it's so obvious to me. You know, so we'll throw this. You see,
my skepticism.
Yes, go ahead.
Is at play now. My cynicism is on overtime.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking, because the Supremes could have just said, this is cray cray. We don't even want
to hear this. Yes, they could have. They could have.
Right.
Yes.
However, because of Dobbs, mm-hmm. and because there's more on the line that they plan to do in the future, yeah. then they needed something that they could say, nope.
Yes.
You ought to be able to sell this medication. You ought to be able to have it over the mail. So that they could say, and those who are support them,
yes. say,
see, we're not so bad.
After. Yes. You're absolutely correct. They did not want this ban on the through the mail sales of this pill to that's be been, in effect
that's been,
before the election.
That has been in action for 25 in use for 25 years.
Yes.
Quarter of a century. Yeah. You know, almost about half as long as abortion was legal, by the way. But anyway, and the thing is, the right wingers, the MAGA people, are upset the anti-abortion people because although they got Dobbs done last year, there were more abortions than ever because of these pills. Women say, okay, well, we skipped going to the doctor. We just popped the pills, and that'll take care of that problem.
Yeah.
And so they're very upset about that because they thought they had done it.
Yeah.
So now they have a couple of other plans.
No, they'll. And by the way, just so you know, folks, once this election is out of the way, this will come back to the Supremes, and you'll see a different ruling. A different ruling.
Right.
We're really concerned about
unless if everybody votes, I mean intelligent, the real Americans, the Democrats and the independents, they all vote and beat MAGA crowds so badly that the Democrats have the House, the Senate, the White House.
Wow. Is that your current prediction?
That's my current prediction. Although the Senate's going to be real challenging, but I think we got to get it because of abortion. Anyway, we get those three things, and then we expand the Supreme Court. And
folks.
That's the solution.
Yeah. So you can dilute.
Right.
The power of like MAGA justices like Alito and Thomas. When you mentioned real Americans, it immediately triggered a thought about something I'd love to get your opinion on. Del Marie talked about it at length yesterday. And in the aftermath of Del Marie's appearance on the show, NBC dropped Ronna McDaniel. So Del Marie, I give you all the credit. So, of course, just for folks who are just tuning in and don't know what's going on, Ronna McDaniel, the former head of the Republican National Committee, related to Mitt Romney, went total MAGA with Donald Trump, became an acolyte for Trump and was an ally of his in the aftermath of the November 2020 presidential election.
Yeah.
She was on the phone with people in Michigan, just basically throw out all the votes in Detroit, crowd. Okay. Right. Just throw out all the black votes. We can win. If black people don't get to vote, we can win.
Right. And she's part of the Trump was cheated.
Yeah.
That Trump he's a real president. She's part of that crowd.
So when it's in their infinite wisdom, the folks who run NBC News thought it would be a good idea to cut a deal with her, pay her $300,000 a year to be a paid contributor, which is just unbelievable. Get your thoughts on that. Paid contributors. And I got this text from Jim Coogan, our ace legal advisor here in the show, and he was pointing this out, Monroe, Ronna McDaniel doesn't represent any of the views of the RNC, the Republicans, Trump, or anti-Trumpist. She was rejected and replaced by Trump. She was a terrible RNC chair as compared to Michael Steele, who was pretty successful winning congressional and Senate races. Because she sold out to Trump, she doesn't represent the views of never-Trumpers. She doesn't even represent views of the Romney wing, who she rebuked by dropping his name to serve Trump. It's even more harebrained than it seemed at first blush. I got to agree with Jim 100% on this, Monroe. Like, what were they thinking? Who do they think? Like, who are they trying to appease by hiring a woman who was fired by Trump, so MAGA doesn't like her, and sucked up to Trump so much that, like, the Romney-McCain wing of the Republican doesn't like her. Who would have been satisfied, like, listening to her, giving her opinions at $300,000 a year? Who, Monroe? Who were they trying to appease?
It wasn't a matter of appeasement. They have this, you know, it's this other disease that legacy media has, and that's we're going to be fair. We're presenting both sides, and so they wanted her there so that they would have the right wing side of the story. And I'm sure they thought that she would not look so bad because Trump had fired her. So in theory, and she was at $300,000, she had to rethink her whole Trump position. I thought, what? I get to go on TV every two or three times a week, yeah, just to run my mouth and come up with some bullshit. What would Trump do in a situation like this? He'd go for the bucks.
Yeah. What would Trump do? That's, yeah. Oh my God. You're right. And so in her first interview on Meet the Press, Welker asks her, so do you now believe it was a fair election in 20? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, Joe Biden won fair and square. Oh my God.
Exactly. Right.
Oh my Lord. That was too much.
And you don't have the appreciation I do.
Okay.
My having worked in TV for 13 years and sat at the table with these folks, I am absolutely positively amazed that the anchors at MSNBC and NBC went on air criticizing management.
Yeah.
And you just don't do that. But they did. I mean, I was shocked when I saw Morning Joe. They went and Mika, they were critical. Yeah, I mean, all the anchors. I mean, they just, one person after the next.
Well, I got Del Marie was, I don't think she said this on the mic, but she said this to me before we went on the air. She said it reminded her of what happened in Chicago when I think it was NBC hired Jerry Springer to get analysis and Carol Marine.
Right.
She was very critical of it. I can't remember the specifics, but she may have left the station.
Carol Marine did leave. She left. And the male anchor who went to 7, I forget.
Ron Majors,
yeah.
He criticized it too.
Right. Because the problem is, anchors are the face of the TV station.
Yeah.
And so if the TV station is doing some stuff that makes the anchors look bad, then they have to think about, do they want to front this or not?
Yeah. Yeah, at some point, all you have is your integrity.
Right. Now, the difference is Cal Marine and Ron Majors left, whereas all the anchors at MSNBC just went up against the bosses And the bosses said, never mind.
Oh, my God. Listen, it's utterly preposterous. I've been watching MSNBC more under thanks to Monroe. You got to watch it. So I watch it every now and then. And watching their format, it's really preposterous to think that they would accept her as a legitimate source of discourse.
Right. Who's the blonde Fox anchor that came to MSNBC?
You asked me this before, the one who got the fight with Trump.
Right. Right. Anyway, they brought her there. And they paid her. She was being paid more than Lester Holt was getting paid. Wow. To be there. And nobody watched. She's on the wrong station talking to the wrong people.
Yeah.
And so they just had to eat that contract.
Yeah.
She lasted a year, I think.
Megyn Kelly.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the people that watch MSNBC regularly are the same type of people that listen to the Benjirovsky show.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, we're more to the left of them, I think. All right. So let me ask you this. In your humble opinion,
yes.
Let's take NBC's justification at face value. And they want to be more balanced in their coverage by bringing on people of the MAGA persuasion, all right? Because they do represent 45% of the citizenry, according to me.
40%. Yeah, but they didn't do it for more balanced, because
they brought it to have
a different opinion to show you if you are. I sometimes look at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Not often, because my stomach is not strong anymore, but I sometimes watch it. But what's happened in American media in general is that if you're left wing, you watch MSNBC. If you're right wing, you watch Fox. MSNBC has differing opinions.
Yeah.
But her opinion was of no value. That was
right.
A problem.
I believe the word they used was fair. Their coverage would be fair. My point is, who could you recommend if that is ultimately your goal? So I struggled with this yesterday when I was talking to Del Marie, because I'm saying, do you bring an insurrectionist on and give them time? Who could you possibly bring on?
Bring in a moderate Republican.
Who doesn't support Trump? So now you're not being fair to MAGA.
Not supposed to be fair to MAGA. That's the problem. MAGA is not playing fair.
Yeah, that's true. There you go.
That's the problem. That's what I'm saying with this.
Yes.
This both sides-ism that the legacy media does, where they do this and it's crazy. They need to be saying these people are anti-democratic. They want an authoritarian country, and we want none of it. So everybody who works here says none of this.
It would be like if
MSNBC decided that they need to bring in David Dukes.
Oh my God!
Or point of view, a different. You know, it's certain positions that doesn't work on.
Well, here's the reality is this, and this is where we're at. David Duke is the former head of the KKK, white supremacist, avowed, one of the most racist, disgusting human beings who's ever achieved any sort of prominence in our country, and Donald Trump. It's not that much different. When the Nazis were marching through Virginia, the streets of Virginia, what did Donald Trump say? No, there's good people on both sides. You know, he equated Donald Trump brought Nick Fuentes to Mar-a-Lago, who's a complete racist anti-Semite, a deranged mind. So that's where MAGA is right now. Are we supposed to embrace him?
Right. And Donald Trump says that the reason he's making a row inroads with black voters is because of his mugshot.
That's what he's saying. And that, by the way, Monroe, I've seen, this is how, I see it all the time. Donald Trump making inroads with black voters. Donald Trump making inroads with black voters. I'm like, well, you guys just repeat this stuff. You know what I'm saying? You just like see a picture of Donald Trump surrounded by black people. Go, he's making inroads with black voters. It was AI picture, but whatever. Donald Trump's making inroads with black voters. Crazy world. Well, I mean, there's always, MAGA is always, they do nominate from time to time black people. Mark Robinson in North Carolina, and Herschel Walker in Georgia, Monroe.
Right.
Am I overlooking any? I probably am somewhere. I apologize to those I am overlooking. So, yeah. So I guess he's making inroads with Herschel Walker. All right, Monroe. I think we've covered all our topics for today. And I'll let you get back to your the solicitations for Medicare. I feel for you, man. On many levels, those they're like vultures, man.
What I've got to do is go to the do not call to figure out how to do that.
Yeah,
get on the do not call list because this is it. Really is ridiculous, and you know, and I. They what they do is they ask you, they say, well, do you have Medicare and Medicare A and B? And I tell them, yes, I even have Medicare green. G. I even have G. And they're on script. And so that doesn't matter. They start pitching me on what I could get. You know, and the thing is, both my optometrist and my dentist have told me that these policies for Medicare that you get, they only pay a fraction of what they're going to charge me for this.
Just block their calls. It's right. All ripoffs.
Right.
It's just total ripoffs.
Right.
All right, Monroe, I'll let you get back to it. That's Monroe Anderson every Wednesday on this the Ben Jarofsky Show. I also thank producer Chris, does an outstanding job. And Monroe agrees with you when I say, hey, producer Chris, give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. Peace and love, everybody.
And as always, previous Ben Jarofsky shows, all available at your leisure at chicagoreader.com. You can follow Ben on Instagram at Benny J Show. And don't forget to tell your friends, like, subscribe, and follow The Ben Jarofsky Show on your favorite streaming and podcasting platforms.